Rising up from the cornfields of the Midwest, a new voice is being heard. We are taxed like no others. From a state synonymous with corruption, producing convicted felons from our governors at unprecedented rates.
As the former Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich,
prison tonight. George Ryan begins a 6.5-year prison term.
Coming to you from Peoria, Illinois, this is the Liberty Plays podcast. Hosted by everyone's favorite downstate Illinois Libertarian chapter, the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. Featuring news, commentary, and interviews with local, state, and national libertarians working to make a difference for everyone. Welcome to the show.
The Liberty Plays podcast contains opinions and commentary from the hosts and guests that may educate, illuminate, or offend. You may or may not like what they say. The editorial views of this podcast do not represent the official position of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and should not be quoted or rebroadcast as such.
Hey everybody, this is Eric Stahl, and I'm hosting another episode of Liberty Plays podcast at a small table at the West Dublin Pub in Pekin, Illinois, which is kind of cool. And sitting at the table with me, immediately to my left, is
Donnie Henry, the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
And Jacob Irish, the vice chair of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
All right. Now, the reason we're at the West Dublin Pub is because we had a Libertarian meeting for Tazewell County, which was kind of cool. We tried in January. God hated us then. We tried in February. God hated us then. We had blizzards, polar vortexes. We had every possible reason not to have this meeting in Tazewell County over the last couple of months. Finally, we get together and had a pretty decent little showing. I'm happy. We had a new face show up. Had a couple of regulars and I think five people from Tazewell County, which doesn't sound like much, but that was an accomplishment for us.
Yeah,
it is. 2019 is going to be a good year for you.
What do you think about the venue?
I love it. The West Dublin Pub's very nice. Nice Irish pub. And
yeah, I'm definitely digging the decor and just, it's a great place.
I didn't know Pekin had it in them.
Right. I had no idea.
So Damon and I had this idea. We've been having the meetings in Morton over at Seasons Gastro Pub, and we really do enjoy that venue. But we were kind of getting the same people all the time, so we thought, you know, Tazewell County is actually kind of spread out all over the place. Let's kind of move this meeting around. So West Dublin is the first location we moved to, and I think we're going to maybe look at a location in Washington, Illinois.
Yeah.
Just kind of keep bouncing around, see if we can capture a few more,
yeah,
a few more libertarian hearts.
Bring them to the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you to you two guys for coming down.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Tuesday night, and Thursday night, you have a meeting coming up.
We do.
In Peoria.
We definitely do.
W.E. Sullivan's. We've got, actually, I got to hand the credit to Jake. Jake brought in Brandon Martin. He's a running for city councilman at large in Peoria.
Yeah, you know, I messaged him back in February, and, you know, we have some mutual friends, and I know Brandon Martin as a business owner, and, you know, our February meeting kind of got moved around a little bit. It was Valentine's Day, so I completely understood, but he made it through the first round of preliminaries and seemed really eager. As soon as I messaged him, he's absolutely, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
So
he's kind of a Renaissance man, too. Like, I saw his truck. It says Brandon Martin for City Council, and the other side of his tailgate is iPhone repair.
So I've been in the wireless industry for a long time, and you know Brandon Martin from fixing phones,
yeah,
and he's definitely got a good head on his shoulders. I'm really excited to see, you know, what he says in the meeting and really how he answers our questions. I've been following him on Facebook, and like I mentioned, we'd had some mutual friends, but you know, he's commented on several things that kind of defending his position to a level that, as a libertarian, I was reading it as a, hey, I'm glad he's coming to this meeting because.
Yeah, has he declared a party? Is he a Republican?
You know, I have no idea.
But most of the things he says and the fact that he's such an entrepreneur leads me to believe that he's got to have some libertarian tendencies.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. I mean, has to. I mean, you think he runs a Bitcoin mining operation,
yeah,
and, you know, a lot of oddball stuff. But you know, whenever anyone talks to him about taxes and fees, he really steers to incentivizing people to come and live in the community, which then increases our revenue.
Just having the people there. Okay.
Yep.
Well, so that's pretty cool. That's Thursday.
Yep.
And Liberty Talk?
Liberty Talk, yeah. So our membership director, Damon Dillon, is going to talk about the upcoming. We have a couple of bills.
This is Barron's in the audience. He's looks quizzical, but
he knows.
And we love his Liberty talks.
Yeah, we do. We do. But this is going to be about a couple of bills. They're about to be. They've been introduced in the Illinois State, Illinois House and Senate. And these bills are going to give us equal ballot access to the two parties. If we can get these through, it's a game changer.
What are the numbers, Donnie?
I knew you were going to do that. So it's 214, 141, and
35.
Okay, well, I tried.
Man, yeah. I thought you'd be closer.
You know
what?
Anyway. I'm usually quicker. You know, I just came from baseball practice.
All right. So the Liberty Talk is going to be on the ballot access.
Yes.
All right, which is pretty excellent. I mean, we talked about this at the meeting tonight. If you weren't at the meeting tonight, then, you know, you're missing out. But, I mean, you're talking about other parties and trying to get other people involved with this. I mean, how realistic is it to think that the other parties want this to happen?
Well, they don't really want this to happen. But I think that the pitch that I'm going to make when we discuss this with some of our legislators is that, listen, if you truly believe in an independent map amendment, which the Republicans seem to think that J.B. Pritzker promised this, if you want fair elections...
He's promised a lot. He's holding his promises.
And you don't support equal ballot access, then you're just one of them. And you don't get to stand there and tell us that you're for fair elections and for ending gerrymandering and all that stuff. You just want to keep the power within the two parties.
Yeah, so you're saying that if they don't vote for these changes, that... they are standing at gerrymandering is okay, and they're all in it together. Right?
And my pitch to the Democrats is what do you got to lose, right?
They have nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. You know, they have an iron fist on this state. Yeah. But for the Republicans, if they don't align with us, they're going to die. This is not a question of if, it's when. They will die. Donald Trump is the Republican Party's last bastion of craziness that's keeping them around. When he is gone, the Republican Party dies, and the Libertarian, if they have not united with us, they're done. It's a done deal. I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah, I think it's great. It should be an interesting Liberty talk.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you guys, will you quiz Damon, you think, or will you just let him peacefully leave this?
I can't even freaking remember the bill number, so I'm not going to quiz Damon for anything.
I don't think anyone's going to quiz Damon.
We will make a post on Facebook with those accurate numbers and telephone numbers of your legislators.
Yeah. So that's the big thing. I mean, we have an effort here to actually do a call out and call your senators.
Yeah.
And we need to make this.
I'm going to be visiting one at his home.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. We're gonna make that happen. Yep,
that's the plan. So,
I wasn't name dropper.
I wasn't name dropping. No, I was just saying.
Yeah, I was just waiting for it to fall out of your mouth.
No names.
All right. Hey, getting away from the meeting coming up. Aaron Schock news. It was all over the place. He's been exonerated by the federal government. Was he doing probation, paying back $100,000, something like that? We will get into all that, but he made a video. Would you call it an apology video or kind of a statement interview?
I'm not sure what you call it, but all I can tell you is that I've been listening. I listened to an interview with him on Greg and Dan.
Yeah,
good interview.
No, I missed that. So has that been recently since the whole thing's gone down?
Yeah, that's been since it was one of the first ones he did. And so I listened to that one, and then I started to listen to the one he did on WEEK. And I kind of shut it off halfway. And you remember Aaron Chess, who was at our last meeting, he messaged me.
Great kid.
Great kid. And so we've been talking.
Sorry, I called him kid. Is that unfair to call him a kid?
He's 21, so you got to call him.
All right, great guy.
He's a fine young man. How's that? But he's been messaging me. We've kind of talking about libertarian philosophy and things. And he said to me, he goes, did you see the Aaron Schock interview? And I had seen part of it, but I was like, yeah. It was crazy, huh? You know?
Yeah.
But then he goes, libertarian's the way. And so I didn't think much of it. And he'll probably get this now that I'm saying this.
Yeah.
But like an hour later, I was eating dinner with Eve, and I was like, I wonder what he meant by that.
Yeah.
And I went back and listened to it, and Aaron Schock...
Go to the tape.
Went to the tape, and Aaron Schock said that, actually, I'm more of a libertarian socially speaking. And I was like, that's what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And I messaged Aaron back right away. I was like, libertarian's the way, you know?
Now, this isn't to say that Schock is running for office or anything like that.
No.
But,
no.
But, you know, the guy is kind of... I mean, he was a pillar in Peoria.
Yep.
And even if he lays back for an election cycle or two... I think he'll be a presence here.
You know, I think so too, but he made a good point talking in that interview. You know, he pointed out he's only 37.
Yeah.
So he could do whatever he wants for the next 20 years. And if he enters politics again in 20 years, that's when most people enter, right?
Yeah.
Especially at the level that he was at prior to, right?
Yeah.
I found it to be a very interesting interview. There were moments in it that he came across as very defendant versus very like, hey, you know, this is what happened. But do you really fault the guy?
No,
he's kind of been
40
years
he's been
of
on
just.
His heels. Look.
And I think he even said it like, every day I've woken up and wondered if I'm going to end up. And like, the pressure of that is just insane.
The biggest thing about that, guys, is that he said that during the investigation of all this stuff, he found out that there were private investigators hired before this whole thing came out to dig up dirt on him.
Yeah.
Somebody had a hit out on Aaron Schock. I don't know who it was. It could have been someone in the Republican Party. It could have been someone that was mad he might run for president. Yeah. I don't know. And I'm not going to speculate. I have ideas, but I'm not going to speculate right here. But I think that someone was out to get him, and he knows it, and I hope he comes back for blood. I mean,
well, and really, when you think about it, they put him completely in the dirt. I mean, they killed and buried this guy, and really not a whole lot
fast.
More. Yeah, not a whole lot more came out. Because if you were thinking they're going to dig up a bunch of dirt, you would have thought it would all would have shown up right there. So, I mean.
And you know what the craziest, unfortunate piece? So even if it's not thinking about it locally, when it happened, everyone said, ah, he's from Illinois, guilty as charged, he's corrupt. I don't have an opinion one way or the other. I think all politicians, I think all politicians, they're corruption. But
they're generally liars.
There is there is that stigma that was attached to him, Illinois representative, guilty.
Well, and he resigned.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
that's right. He just basically got
Illinois
like
representative, guilty.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the question: is where does he go from here? And I don't even think Aaron knows. But I sure hope if he's listening out there, which I doubt he is, but if he is, we want to talk to you. We want to get to know you.
I'd love to have him at a meeting. Yeah. And for all intents and purposes, he should probably go in the private sector for 20 years and then reemerge when everyone else forgets, right?
Yeah.
Well, we can certainly open up a studio in Tremont for him anytime he wants to do
and
show.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
You know? Pepperidge Farm remembers.
What else we got going on here? Oh, so this reminded me, because you were talking about having him on the podcast. Was it Sarwark who posted the picture of all of his podcasts you listened to?
That was Alex Merced, the vice chair.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, look at that. We didn't make the list.
Yeah, and you know what? I messaged. I even put out there, don't forget us at Liberty Plays. And they put on another one, and we weren't on there.
Man.
How dare they? And I've listened to some of those libertarian podcasts. They are half the podcast we are. This is insanity. You know?
Yeah, I was a little dismayed by it. I'm like, all right,
I didn't see it.
No, you didn't see that?
No.
Donnie posted. So I think once Donnie posted on it, it kicked over to me. I'm like, oh, well, this is my bread and butter as part of the party here, so I probably should
get in on it.
Yeah, I should probably be a little upset.
Maybe
we'll
make the cut next time. Maybe we should tag Alex Merced in this.
I think we probably will.
Yeah.
Hey, what about the presidential front? What we got going on here, man?
So this is a big to-do. So Bill Weld announced that he was going to run as a Republican in the primary against Trump.
And so we started talking, we alluded to this in the last Liberty Roundup, but we were going to save it for the actual Liberty Plays. Mm-hmm. And so sorry it's taken so long for this.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this was a huge thing because, you know, I was there at the 2016 nomination when Bill Weld promised he was never going to leave the Libertarian Party. He was always going to be a Libertarian for life. And that didn't kind of work out too well. But I have been one of his biggest defenders because the fact is we treated him like shit.
I mean, oh, yeah. The party just ground him. Nobody wanted him.
Nobody. And
how he even got on the ticket is beyond me.
The convention. The convention, Gary Johnson. But, you know, he was always the one that, I think I was with you, Eric, that said that he should have been top of the ticket. We treated him like shit.
Yeah. And we have this idea that we're going to have some white horse come in and run some magnificent campaign. But the fact is none of these champions we have, Larry Sharp, you know, great guy, smart guy, I love to listen to him talk.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to roll in with the money and the infrastructure that Bill Weld came in with.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that means is that we have a great message that nobody hears. And so as long as we don't have an infrastructure, we don't have money in a candidate, and the party has no money, what do they want? You know, we have to nominate someone who is the best that we can do. And even though Bill Weld was a small L libertarian, he was a libertarian. And yeah, he could have done so much for us.
Almost like mini Democrats in some ways, aren't we? Just like fighting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always fall back on things. When you talk about you need someone with money.
Yeah.
We don't have any money.
And we saw that. I mean, hopefully what happened through our governor campaign is we realized that we had a really pretty decent guy, pretty charismatic guy with cash. He had no money, and we fell on our face. And a lot of people were angry at us for it, but I hope that it was a learning lesson because we can come back from that. Yeah. We can learn from it. We can do better with it. And we've got some good local candidates running too, and hopefully that, you know, we support those local candidates instead of banking on a statewide figure. Yeah.
So I don't want to kill the podcast by talking about this as the final part, but one thing I was talking about, and we talk about this and beat this dead horse all the time, is the libertyplays.com website. Now, we do some editorials and stuff like that on there.
We have.
But I was telling Donnie and Jake here earlier that I think we need to spend more time talking about the nonsense that's going on in Washington with, you know, when Trump says, let's build a wall, well, maybe we should have some commentary on what the libertarian position is on the wall. Maybe we should have a conversation about, you know, Octavia Cortez's latest stupidity that comes out of her mouth. And I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. She just says some weird stuff sometimes. But we need to spend maybe an hour a week, you know, just throwing down our notes on this stuff. Because I think, you know, you were talking like Greg and Dan, want the third-party perspective.
Yep, yep.
And what, 60% of the population wants the third party?
Yeah, that was a great segment. And I know that Jake only caught part of it. But basically, Greg and Dan said that 60% of Americans polled say they wanted a third party. And then he said, I think you guys are liars. Because when you go into the voting booth,
you don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's the brain damage I get every election cycle. My friends are like, oh, yeah, you're libertarian, but you know what happens when you get in the voting booth. You don't vote libertarian.
And that's the moment that it happens. We feel like we've made all this progress, and then we're waiting for the voting booth, and then it comes out, and it's like, yeah, people walked in and did something really different. It's frustrating.
And that's on us, right? Because we don't have the candidates, and we don't pitch a perfect game. I've always said that if we're going to ever make progress, we have to have a candidate that's going to pitch a perfect game, or we have to have a solid candidate that runs locally and works their way up. You know, the Aaron Schock model.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the cult of personality type thing. And that's what I think, that's what the National Party keeps hoping for.
Yeah.
You know, Gary might have almost had it, just couldn't quite.
I think he was still too much of the pop persona.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah, well, that's our big flaw, right? We're the pop party. But I do believe that as pop becomes more accepted, widely accepted, that we'll slowly move away from that stigma because it's legal. So what else do you guys have to say?
It won't be
so
much of an issue.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Yeah. That's the hope.
Is there anything else we need to talk about, guys?
We got the St. Patrick's Day parade Sunday.
This is big. It's on a Sunday. Normally, St. Patty's Day, that parade is like a rip-roaring good time down the middle of Peoria on a weekday.
Yep.
And I'm always working and watching. And this year, it's on a Sunday. And you have to wait till after church is over, because I think the parade starts at like noon or something, right?
Parade starts at 2. Lineup will be around 1.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so this is, you really have no excuses unless you're an adult with children like myself or Jake. Yeah, Jake.
It has become something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Jake understands now.
Yes,
absolutely.
But it is a great time, and after it's right by the Liberty Tower where Eve and I live, and you guys are going to be welcome to come up and have some corned beef with us, have a few beers, and
so do the Republicans and the Democrats. Do they participate in this parade?
I've seen them before, but I don't think as religiously as we have.
Rodney in the audience here, he thinks so.
Yeah. Democrats and the progressives do.
The progressives
do, yeah. Well, I know that we're actually in the same lineup as Friends of Jim Ardis,
okay,
which is interesting.
Great.
Yeah,
so. Twitter's out.
Yeah, and then actually we're in the same lineup as Kelleher's, so that'll be a fun one to be in. So
sure, yeah, so that... 1 o'clock lineup.
Yep.
Downtown. All right. Look for libertarians. They'll be the ones having the most fun.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Did we want to talk anything about the minimum wage increase, or do we want to save that for another show?
I mean, we can.
We got plenty of time to save that. Right, I got a lot to say.
Yeah, I do too. As a small business employer, I have some feelings on it as well. So, all right. Well, I think that's good for tonight. Again, we're in Tazewell County. First time at the West Dublin Pub. Good time. Met some new people and talked about a lot of stuff. I'm glad you guys came out. I know it's a little bit of a drive. Thank you.
It's always fun.
No, always.
Cool. All right, so let's wrap this thing up for the Liberty Place podcast. This is Eric Stahl.
Donnie Henry.
And Jacob Irish.
We'll see you next time.
That's it for this month's episode. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast catcher. For more information on this show or any other subjects we talked about, check out our Facebook page or libertyplays.com. We'll be back next month with more Liberty in podcast form. Remember, kids, taxation is theft.